Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for saying good morning again. It's very, very good to see you all here today. Thank you, despite all that's going on in this town and the neighborhood. I don't know if anybody noticed, but they had car shows in like four different towns around us yesterday, including here. And then the music, too, that was going on last night and the movie. Did anybody stay up to watch the movie here last night in town? I'm sure it was just wonderful. But, you know, it's great when the community comes together. And it's an opportunity for us to interact with the community. Unfortunately, Amy and I, we're leaving right after service today. And we're going to check out some colleges with Adeline. So, you know, just keep us in prayer as we're traveling around the city. But again, this is a great time of year, you know, where people are right before harvesting season, so people are available, and there's a lot going on in their cities. So I love this time of year. But God bless you, one and all. And keep, if you would, keep El Paso and Dayton, Ohio people in your prayers as we move forward, because I know it must be very tough on them. Well, anyways, last week we went through the second chapter of the book of Ruth. And the Old Testament book, it's a great narrative of true love and commitment demonstrated. It's written by the prophet Samuel around 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. There's much about this story here that we can all relate to and apply to our current day situations. Well, today we're going to be continuing where we left off now in 3rd Ruth, the 3rd chapter of Ruth. So hold up your Bibles and please turn with me to the 3rd chapter of Ruth, page 230 in the Pew Bibles, which is the inspired and the infallible and the living Word of God. But let's start right now with prayer. Father God, be with us as we are delving into your precious word. Father God, never let us take it for granted. Lord, inspire us and keep us on track to stay in your word. Because Lord, as the world around us is falling apart, your word is true. Your word is living. Your word keeps us on track and keeps us just centered on who you are and what you have done for us. Father God, watch after us today. In your precious name we pray. Everybody says?
Amen.
Amen. So, this book of Ruth is really just a wonderful love story. Ruth had been living under the shadow of her mother-in-law, Naomi, for quite some time. They just got to Bethlehem, and as we learned last week, Ruth went out and started picking up the barley grain that after the harvesters that were taken to the crops. We're going to see that in our area here within another month or so. They're going to start harvesting crop. And I'm telling you, keep your farmers in prayer too, because the crops right around here aren't looking too good. Well, Bob, Lisa, and Amy and I went out the other day and we started looking at some of the crops along the way. And man, I tell you what, they're in bad shape. So this year is going to be very interesting how it all fleshes out. But keep the farmers in your prayer. But Ruth was going out and she was picking up the grain by hand of what the harvesters had left behind. The field that she chose to do so through God's providence turned out to be from a man named Boaz, who turned out to be a relative of her now deceased father, Elimelech. The landowner, Boaz, noticed Ruth's hard work and her undying compassion for her mother-in-law, Naomi, who he knew. So he took her under his wing, and he made sure that she was protected and looked after while they were doing the harvesting of the crops. Naomi realized quickly that Boaz was that near relative and that could stand in officially as what was called a redeemer for her and Ruth. Being an official redeemer was something that Moses had set up in the law many years before that about how to maintain the bloodline as an official landowner and caretaker of the family for the Jews. You might recall that the land of Israel was parceled out to the 12 Jewish families or tribes under Jacob. And it was intended that those same tribes would maintain ownership of that land throughout the many years. So this idea of a redeemer here was to maintain that family line, if you will. So now Naomi, in this chapter today, is offering some suggestions to Ruth on how they should strategically maneuver this new relationship that Ruth found with Boaz, so that it would be in keeping one with the law that Moses set forth and the law of the land, but also in keeping with the family traditions and futures together. That is what we all should be doing, helping each other to be successful in our relationships, especially those relationships that might lead towards strengthening the family bond. Family is all about church, and church is all about family, and we need to really invest in the families, as they're trying to do here, strengthen the families for the course ahead. So be in prayer about that, and as you are living out your life with your family, I just protect it, I guess that's the main thing we're given here. But Naomi here in this next chapter gives some prudent and wise advice and training up now in preparing her future daughter and her daughter-in-law Ruth. The Apostle Paul wrote about that dynamic, about the women training up the older women training up the younger women in Titus 2. He says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves of much wine. Did you hear that, by the way? They are to teach what is good. And so train up the young women to love their husbands and their children, and to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. The word of God may not be reviled. So older women, you got a big task in this church. You have a big task in your families. You got a big task at leading the younger women in the way they ought to go. Just like I aspire to work hard at making disciples of all men in this church and all people, but the older ladies should be stepping in and helping me to guide the younger ladies in this church. As young ladies too, like the young men, they should also be seeking the wise counsel of their elders. We're all in this together. There's a lot of wisdom in this room. We should be looking to help one another get through this thing called life. That's what Naomi is trying to do with Ruth, and that's what we should be doing as well. So now let us read this first part of chapter 3 and the advice that Naomi now has for her daughter-in-law Ruth as we go through. Verse 1 says, Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "My daughter, shouldn't I find rest for you so that you will be taken care of?" So she's talking about, shouldn't I help you find a good relationship going forward? "Now, isn't Boaz our relative? Haven't you been working with his female servants? This evening he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and put perfumed oil on and wear your best clothes. Go down to the threshing floor, but don't let the man know that you're there until he has finished eating and drinking. And when he lies down, notice the place where he's lying. Go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will explain to you what you should do." So you could take this chapter in a lot of different ways, but effectively what she's telling Ruth here is to submit yourself to this guy Boaz, and he will take care of you. Now, in our relationships today, they're a little bit different. I don't know if Amy's ever told her to go uncover a guy's feet and sit and lay down on his thing. But she does counsel the girls on a regular basis on how they should approach relationships. Because let me tell you, relationships are just as sticky and troublesome today as they were way back when. But they can also be beautiful things. But we need to be navigating those waters carefully, and the wisdom of the older people we should heed. So at first glance, though, one might get all kinds of controversial ideas about this, but no, Naomi is suggesting. Naomi is telling her to pay attention, wait until he is sleeping, and then lie down at his feet in a humble way. Almost like a young daughter might do to their parents late at night. Anybody give me an amen on that one? mean, it's a beautiful thing, you know, when my children would, when they were younger, would want to sleep with mom and dad. It's a beautiful thing, you know. So I think that's more about this. You know, Naomi's just trying to position Ruth in a way that Boaz will take notice of her and take care of her. But putting herself in the care of Boaz, laying down her situation, her reliance upon him to the feet of Boaz is a beautiful thing. Jesus tells us also to do the same thing for him. He wants us to lay down our troubles and our challenges at the feet of the Redeemer. He doesn't make you do it. He offers that for you. The Savior. He is the Savior and our Redeemer. Trust the Redeemer. Make yourself available to the Redeemer so that He will lead you on the right path of salvation and take care of you. So, verse 5 continues. It says, "So Ruth said to her, 'I will do everything you say.' She went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law had charged her to do. After Boaz ate, drank, and was in good spirits, he went to lie down at the end of the pile of barley, and she came secretly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. At midnight, Boaz was startled, turned over, and there lying at his feet was a woman." And it says it at the next explanation point. "So he asked her, 'Who are you?' 'I am Ruth, your servant,' she replied. 'Take me under your wing, for you are a family redeemer.'" You are a family redeemer. That's like going up to a police officer when I was young. I was lost in the center of Detroit when I went to a baseball game at the Tiger Stadium. And I didn't know where I was at. I had no clue. I was only in elementary school. And I went up to that police officer and I grabbed his coat and I said, Mr. Police Officer, help me. That police officer saw his as a charge for him to take care of me. And that's exactly what now Boaz, as a redeemer, is admitting to, that is now his charge. I am going to take care of you as that role, as redeemer. So Ruth, again, is a stranger in that country who probably didn't speak much Hebrew at all. She took a chance based upon the wise counsel of her mother-in-law. I would say the mother-in-law already showed that she knew who this guy Boaz was and knew that he was a righteous man. So they took a gamble, but it was a calculated gamble in this respect. And Ruth trusted Naomi and decided to do what she was told. But I can hardly imagine, though, the anxiety of her situation. I mean, there's a bunch of stinky old guys, and they've been working hard all day long, and they're laying down on the threshold floor, and she's sneaking around. I bet her heart was just pounding in her chest. She would probably normally, though, be right there with them, but dressed in a very modern, a simple outfit that was made for picking up grain in the field. But this time, she got dressed up, as Naomi told her. She perfumed herself up and stepped out in faith. It was nighttime and she had to sneak around those other harvesting men, risking it all for the chance of her family being now possibly redeemed by Boaz. What would you be willing to do for your family? Because that's really what this is all about. Ruth and Naomi saw Boaz as being the ticket to a brighter future. What would you be willing to do to risk for your family? There will be times in our lives when we too will have to take some kind of risk. But like Ruth, we should be hedging our bets based upon the wise counsel of others. That is what the church really is all about. People come together for the purpose of supporting one another, advising one another, sharing our lives with one another, and taking wise risks with one another, but for godly purposes. The last verse here we read is very wonderful, though. It says, "Ruth said, 'I am Ruth, your servant,' she replied. 'Take me under your wing, for you are a family redeemer.'" I would suggest that this comment she made was related to the other wing statement that Boaz made to her in the last chapter, verse 12. He said to Ruth, if you might recall from last week, "May the Lord reward you for what you have done, And may you receive full reward from the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So Boaz recognizes that Ruth here had given her life to Naomi, but also to her God. Boaz recognized that in her character, recognized that also through that Naomi wouldn't just be carrying around a girl underneath her wing unless she was with her God. So effectively in all this, Ruth is now offering herself to Boaz as his wife, to give herself to him now for refuge. God is her ultimate protector, of course, but she is now placing herself under the care and protection of Boaz. And how beautiful is that? In our society today, folks take marriage so flippantly, I would argue. It seems sometimes, but that people they hook up, they call it, instead of actually getting married. And now marriage can be anything you want to call it to be. Unfortunately, that's not God's design. God designed marriage to be a beautiful thing. Ruth and Naomi were taking this seriously. They were in a bad predicament, and they wanted to set themselves up for success by ideally marrying this guy, Boaz. She was committed to creating a new loving relationship with this man, so that he could be her protector, her caretaker. I pray that in this church we never take marriage for granted, that we strain and struggle to stay committed to one another, now more than ever. Do what it takes, whatever it takes, to keep your marriages intact. Verse 10 continues, "Then Boaz said, 'May the Lord bless you, my daughter. You have shown more kindness now than before, because you have not pursued the younger men, whether rich or poor. Now don't be afraid, my daughter. I will do for you whatever you say, since all the people in my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Yes, it is true that I am a family redeemer, but there is a redeemer closer than I. Stay here tonight, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem you, well, that's good. Let him redeem you. But if he doesn't want to redeem you, as the Lord lives, I will. Now lie down until morning.'" So Boaz was demonstrating real selflessness here. He recognized Ruth's fragile situation. However, based upon the Mosaic law, he had to first present Ruth and Naomi to the other man as a possible redeemer, because he was closer in relationship to them. And that's how Moses set it up. Boaz, despite his obvious desire to be with Ruth, decided to do what was right and what was noble in the eyes of the people and the eyes of the Lord. I love acts of nobility. I really do. There's so many movies that convey that idea so clearly, and it just makes me want to stand up and be noble too. I think of like Lancelot in King Arthur's court, for instance. That's one great example that I always look at. Lancelot loved Queen Guinevere, you may recall, but his noble character and respect for the king kept him from acting on that love. He respected her and he cherished her all the days of his life, but he never took a step in the path of doing anything inappropriate. We need more men and women, I would argue, of noble character, doing things right at the right time for the right reasons too, not compromising truth and justice because of pride and worldly desires. God's word said that Ruth was a lady of nobility, we learned last week. But now here, Boaz is demonstrating his nobility. Would you choose to be that kind of person of nobility when the opportunity arises? Would you choose to be a noble man or woman? So the next verse is verse 14, says, "So she lay down at his feet until morning, but got up while it was still dark. Then Boaz said, 'Don't let it be known that a woman came into the threshing floor.' And he told Ruth, 'Bring the shawl that you're wearing and hold it out.' And when she held it out, he shoveled 6 measures of barley into her shawl, and she went to the town. Verse 16 says, she went to her mother-in-law, Naomi, who asked her, "What happened, my daughter?" Then Ruth told her everything that the man had done for her. She said, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley because he said, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Naomi said, "My daughter, wait until you find out how things go, for he will not rest until he resolves this today." So it's obvious here that Boaz already had deep feelings for Ruth. He was protecting her reputation and providing for her and Naomi now directly. He gave her an amount of grain that was more than what she even needed, more than what she could have ever gleaned on her own. I would propose that this was really an offering from Boaz to Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi. He wanted to impress upon her how now his feelings for Ruth were in attempting to win over Naomi's favor. That is really cool. And I think they called that a dowry at one point. Yeah, he was giving that to Ruth so that he'd give it to Naomi so they can see that this is serious. I'm going to take care of you. So at this juncture, nobody knows if Ruth or Naomi will become a part of Boaz's family or if instead she will join the other Redeemer man's family. They have no other choice but to live by faith under the wings of God, that he will take care of them, that God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, as we always say. This is the same position that God wants all of us to do and be. Do what we can, but then put our faith in him. This is an amazing story of love and faith. And stepping out, doing what we can do to get done, to get our lives back in good order, but also paying good attention to this history lesson. It shows great faith, but it also shows the importance of nobility and importance of hard work, the importance of choosing good strategic relationships, and the importance of trusting God to carry out his perfect and glorious will in all of our situations. What are you deliberating on now in your lives? Life is tough. You know, there are ups and downs, ebbs and flows. There's a harvest time, and there's a time to plant. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to have joy. There's a time to plan, and there's a time to relax. What are you deliberating right now on the next step of your lives? You may not be going through the same kinds of struggles here that Naomi and Ruth are going through, but maybe it's something that could change the course of things to come. Like Ruth, we should all learn to trust in God's care and providence. Don't get me wrong, we should all also be doing our part, just as Ruth in this story did. However, after you have done what you can do, then choose to trust that God's will be done for you as well. I got a little thing about what's called a redeemer, a little illustration for you. It's on the back of my phone here, but this is a real $20 bill, if you can see. But what's different about this old $20 bill is its age. Back in the old days, and maybe Dan and Gene or some of you guys can attest, they used to have something, the dollars were called gold certificates or silver certificates. And the reason they were that way is because they were redeemable for gold or silver. They had something backing it. This bill even says on it right there, redeemable in gold on demand at the United States Treasury or gold or lawful money at the Federal Reserve, any Federal Reserve Bank. This was just a simple piece of paper, but it was valuable. It was valuable. It was redeemable for gold. So that's the basic storyline of this whole thing, is understanding that we all have a redeemer. Jesus Christ, like Boaz in this story, is our redeemer. He is the God in flesh, and he is my true redeemer. And just like the song conveyed that we read the song a little while ago, I know my redeemer lives. I know how, I love how Nicole Mullen's song that we heard earlier starts with a number of questions. That we, it, just for fun, I thought it would be very fun to go through those questions. And if you're so inclined, as I pose those questions, I want you to tell me back my Redeemer, okay? We're going to try this just for fun. So here's the first question. Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? My Redeemer. Yeah. Who told the ocean you can only come this far? My Redeemer. Who showed the moon where to hide till evening? My Redeemer. And whose words alone can catch a falling star? My Redeemer. Yeah. She concludes with a couple faithful, bold statements, but all of these are from Scripture. It says, the very same God that spins things in orbit, He runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquered death to bring me victory. Let all creation testify. Let the life within me cry. I know my Redeemer. He lives to take away my shame, and He lives forever. I'll proclaim that the payment for my sin was the precious life He gave, but now He's alive, and there's an empty grave. Now I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer. He lives, He lives, He lives. Amen? So in this story, we see a lot of compassion. We see some risk. We see some hard work. But we see faith. Faith in a Redeemer. And as we close here now, would you please rise? I want you to think about where you stand right now. Like Ruth, are you going through something that you need to put your faith in that Redeemer now more than anything? So as we sing this last song of Amazing Grace, if that's you, I want you to come forward and let us pray over you here today. I love you guys, and I love my Savior, and I pray you love Him too. Please.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind.
Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this wonderful day. We thank You, Lord, for this wonderful message. And Lord, we ask that You watch after us. Lord, as we prepare now to receive Your Lord's Supper, I ask, Lord, that You cause everybody to consider where they stand now in Your favor, in your word, and in Your faith. Father God, we love You and we need You. And we ask that You be with us. Because it's in Your precious name that we pray. And everybody says, amen. Please take your seats and we'll take the Lord's Supper. Tim?